Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. And, you know, Bubba's done it again. I was out scouring the world for Detroit Lions fans, and I found one, and his name happens to be Staff Sergeant Travis Mills, but actually he's got a much bigger story to tell, and I actually ran into him at Fox Business a couple of months ago and really wanted to get him on the air because I think he's got a great story to tell. Travis Mills, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Travis. So first tell me, I know you got a lot to say, and just so you guys know, Travis's words are, never give up, never quit. And when you hear his story, you'll understand really where he's coming from. But how can a smart guy like you, a big, bold guy, that a lot of courage, be a fan of Detroit Lions? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing with you. I can get it. I'm a Bears fan, so between the two of them, they both stink. But so, Travis, tell us a little bit about your story and about what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish now, because I think it's really fascinating. And I know you've got a book and a movie and a whole bunch of stuff going on. Tell us what's going on, man.
Absolutely. First, I just wanted to make sure that you understand that the Lions and the Bears have the same record right now in the NFL, and moving on. So a little bit about me. I'm from Vassar, Michigan. That's how I became a Lions fan. And I was born in 1987 and went to college, played a little bit of football there. And then I came back home for just kind of didn't really feel like college was a good fit for me. So I joined the military in 2006, and I went off to be in the 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg. When I won deployment for 15 months, met my wife on that deployment through my medic, who's my brother-in-law, and first time I ever met her, actually, I flew into Dallas, picked her up, went to Mexico for a week, then back to my mom and dad's house in Michigan for a week, and we got married shortly after that, and then won another deployment, came back, bought a house, had a kid, and then on my third deployment in April of 2012, on April 10th, I was walking along on a normal deployment. I was about a month and a half overseas, and we're walking along and happened to come to an area, wanted to pull a short halt, set our guns in, and as I took my backpack off and set it on the ground after we checked the area, not once but twice, I set my 80 to 110 pound backpack on the ground, and when it hit the ground, underneath it was an improvised explosive device. So the bomb went off. It automatically ripped off my right arm and right leg, disintegrated. They were never found. At the mid-bicep of my right arm, at the knee of my right leg. My left leg was a couple pieces of tendon and muscle holding it on. My left arm was tattered up pretty good at the wrist area, and ring and pinky finger gone. And I hit the ground on the left side of my face. And as I rolled over, I saw what happened to me. I didn't know if I hit the bomb or if somebody in front of me or behind me hit the bomb, but I went ahead and called my LT. I said, "Hey, LT. I just hit a bomb. I need your medics over here. We're going to need help with your medics and mine." And he responded, said, "Around here, we're heading that way." My left eye started falling shut, and my right eye, I could see everything going on. My medic came up to me, and he went to 60. And I told him, "Doc, don't worry about it. Save my guys. Get away from me. Leave me alone." Like, I didn't think I was going to make it. Not that I was suicidal. I mean, I didn't want to die that day by no means, but I just didn't see guys live through this kind of situation. And, with a lot of prodding from him and him telling me to calm down and do his job and my guys yelling they're going to be okay, which two other guys got hurt with me. One actually lives out in California, the other one's from North Carolina. But they yelled back, they're going to be okay. They had some chest fits in front of them. They were tattered up pretty good, but they were conscious. They could walk. They were okay compared to what state I was in. And then after about 10 minutes of them working on me, getting me stable, I was conscious the whole time. They got me on the helicopter. I got in a helicopter and talked with the medics a little bit. I made it to the hospital, rode the gurney into the operating table. And on the operating table, they touched me. And I told them, "Quit touching me. I'm fine. Leave me alone. I got to get back to my guys." I tried to sit up. As I was sitting up, they were pushing me back down, saying, "Sergeant Mills, I don't know how you're still awake. You need to go to sleep right now. We have to do surgery." And then I finally kicked in. I might not see my family because at the time, I had a 6-month-old at home, and my wife of just over 4 years. So, you know, it was it was pretty impactful. And I said, my baby girl, I'm never going to see her again. And then they knocked me out. And that was April 10th. And on April 12th, they cut my left hand off the rest of the way because it's getting necrotized. And, I messed up. When they knocked me out, they pulled my pants off to operate, and my left leg came with it. So I was a triple amputee. That's the first phone call my wife got, was to tell her that I was injured gravely. They don't know if I was going to make it, and I'm a triple amputee right now. And then 2 days later, on the 12th, I cut my left hand off, so I became a quadruple amputee. And then on April 14th, they woke me up from my medical sedation. And April 14th just happens to be my mom and dad's favorite day in the whole entire world. It's my birthday. So on my 25th birthday, I woke up to find out that I was, in fact, a quadruple amputee. It was in Landstuhl, Germany. My brother-in-law woke me up, or the doctors woke me up. My brother-in-law was in the room. And I woke up, and the first thing I said, my soldiers are my soldiers, and he told me. And then I said, am I paralyzed? And he said, no, you're not paralyzed. I looked at him, and I said, Josh, I can take it. Seriously, I can't feel fingers and toes. Am I paralyzed? And he just said, no, you're not paralyzed, but you don't have them anymore. And then I just went into some self-loathing. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't want to call my family or my wife, my parents, nobody. And I eventually did, but it was all about guilt for getting hit, thinking I let everybody down. Just a whole mixed emotions of why this happened, my bad person, religious questions, just anything and everything. And at the end of the day, I felt like I let everybody down by letting the Taliban get me and how am I ever going to take care of my family? So it was pretty low moment for me, to be honest with you.
Well, when I saw you, big boy, you were ready. It looked like you're ready to play linebacker again. So, I'm glad to see you're doing so much better, and you're really working hard on it. Because, you know, one of the big things that I have a problem with in this country, I love this country, but one of the things that bothers me is that not all of our veterans and guys like you are taken care of properly, and I think that's a big concern for me because you guys are. I mean, listen, everybody's going to be out celebrating New Year's this week. And without guys like you, we wouldn't have New Year's to celebrate. So I thank you and I salute you. And I'm really glad I got a chance to meet you at Fox because, you know, I think you got a great story to tell. And it's a sad story for you, but you've come through it. You've got, you know, family support. And I think that's great. And I'm excited to be able to spend some time with you today. So, Travis, tell me, what is your number one concern today in general?
Oh, if I can be honest, it's finding somebody to help my legs off.
You can be honest, brother. This is the Bubba Show, man. We're honest about everything. If you've ever seen me on air, I don't hide anything, and I love when people just spit it out, and you can tell your story. And in fact, because we want to hear your story, but I want to remind everybody that this is the Bubba Show, and to make sure you check out the programs they're offering. Really doing a bang up job in our. Our hedging venue, it's been extremely successful, and people are doing extremely well with it. And we want to make sure that you yourself get your positions hedged and join our class. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com or TheBubbaShow.org and check it out. We will show you what we're offering. And again, I encourage you to get your portfolio hedged. Again, I'm not looking for the end of the world. But again, I always want to make sure that we are always protected. Remember also to check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. They've got webinars every day to help you better yourselves. Again, that's really what the Bubba Show is all about, which is why we're talking to a great guy like Travis, somebody who served his country for you to make sure that you'll be able to enjoy a happy new year. These are things that, you know, sometimes get slided by, and we tend to forget the people that take care of us and the guys behind the scenes. So, you know, always remember a veteran, salute them, shake their hand, give them a thank you. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break and come back with more from our friend Travis Mills, the Tough As They Come. That's his book, but make sure you check it out. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. See you in a minute. Right, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm with the sergeant, staff sergeant, Travis Mills. Sad story, but really has come a long way from that sad story. Served three tours over and very unfortunate, but is one of, I believe, five quadruple amputees that survived between Iran and Iraq. Is that correct, sir?
Absolutely. One of five between Iraq and Afghanistan, the conflicts over there and the wars. And, you know, that's a real sad point there. You know, I was really depressed and down, but it took about 2 weeks. I got to see my wife, and then things picked up. So I'll get into that when I retell me to.
No, again, I want you to talk about what you want. But, sir, okay, so number one, right now, Travis Mills, you're out. You've got a movie, a book, and so on. But what's your number one? What's the number one thing on Travis Mills' mind right now?
Well, you know, just making sure I get my story out there and I can help people. I was fortunate that when I made it to Walter Reed, my wife was standing there, and the first time I got to talk to her, it wasn't that Kodak moment that you would think. It was me saying, sign the papers. They had to cut 2 more inches off my right leg. And then the next day, on the 18th, I actually told her, I said, Kelsey, you don't have to put up with this. Like, you have Chloe, I'll give you, you know, anything you want, and you have the house, you can have the cars, you can have the money. I bet there's a lot. I'll financially fund you for the rest of your life. No matter what I have, it's yours. But I told her to leave me. I said, you don't have to put up with this. You and Chloe deserve better than this. I can't pick anything up. I can't open jars. I can't hug you. And she said, that's not at all how this works. And then my parents were there. And then I met another guy that walked into my room. It was a quadruple amputee. He was like, hey, what's up? My name's Todd. And he was the second ever. And he said, you're going to be able to drive. You'll be able to walk. Life's not over. It's not as bad as it looks now. You just got to be patient. Well, I got in an argument with my doctor that day because I wanted to start my rehab. I said, look, I got to go to occupational and physical therapy. And he said, you can't do that. I said, no, you don't understand. I have to go. And I called him every half hour for 4 hours straight until he finally said I could go. And I started my rehab. And then once at Walter Reed, I mean, this Walter Reed is the most amazing place I've ever been. And they take a guy with no arms, no legs, and goes from 250 pounds down to 140 pounds. After the explosion, I did lose 110 pounds. And then it was just all about getting better, all about for my family, all about making sure I could walk and I could drive and I could do things. And they said I'd be there for 3 years. I told them not a chance to be here 19, I'd be here for a year. And I was there for 19 months. So 6 months of paperwork. But, I mean, I went from having literally nothing to getting a prosthetic arm at 5 weeks and feeding myself and doing everything I wanted about myself with an arm. Then I went at 7 weeks and 4 days, just under 2 months, I took my first steps to Walter Reed. And I went from 1 hour of each occupational and physical to 4 hours each day to occupational therapy and 4 hours of physical therapy. So I had 8 hour days, 40 hours a week, getting better as much as I could. And the worst part of my recovery was the weekends. But with that, I took what my friend Todd did for me, and I met everybody at Walter Reed. I got to go to their rooms, and I got to and meet their families. And it started out like, hey, Travis, you're pretty positive. Could you check this room out for me? I can't tell you what number or the name, but I can tell you that it's not room 48 and it's not room 50, but it might be in between there. And then it progressed to, hey, check it out. We got this guy, his wife's here, his two kids, and his mom. Can you go talk to him? And we told him to be there around 4. And I became a peer mentor at Walter Reed. And, you know, from that, just being able to help people and show them the transition you know, my work ethic and my drive towards getting better helped a lot of guys there. And I don't say that to be, you know, arrogant about me or nothing. I like helping people. And, you know, there was one day one kid felt bad. He couldn't learn how to walk off a step and bend the knee. And he was a double-legged amputee. And he'd been there 6 or 7 months longer than me. And his therapist said, hey, can you come in later this afternoon and work with him? I said, not a problem. So then I said, hey, just lean on me. Put your cane down. Lean on my shoulder. And his therapist is like, do you realize you're leaning on a quadruple amputee to go off a 4-inch step? Like, you need to understand you can do this. If he can do it, you can do it. And, you know, he was able to. And then I was able to go to Boston and be part of the rehab for the Boston bombing victims. The Army assembled a small team. And it wasn't a public thing. It was just that we went there to help out and show them they could get back to their everyday life. And my biggest challenge today, to date, would be putting my legs on. My legs are the hardest thing. In the morning, I wake up, my little girl, we go and make breakfast with the dogs out. My wife gets up, you know, I give her an extra bit of sleep if she can catch it. I take care of things in the morning. And then I drop my daughter off at school at 8 a.m. and at 8:15, I'm at the gym doing, I do CrossFit. So I'm doing adaptive CrossFit at the gym. And from there, I've been traveling all over the nation with this book. We made a New York Times bestsellers list for the book, Tough As They Come. And with a documentary out. And then, my foundation is huge, and that's like my big goal. My next push, my big goal is the foundation, where we're able to bring out men and women in my situation, show them that they can still adaptively do things, you know, kayak, canoe, boat, swim, fish. But it's not just about them. It's about the family. And I bring the wife and the kids out, or the husband and the kids out, and we show them that they don't have to live life on the sidelines. They don't have to give up on themselves. There's ways to do things, and we teach them those skills, and we send them on their way. And we had 2 proof of concepts the last 2 years, and now we have a facility that's under massive reconstruction, but it's going to be just an immaculate, amazing place where people come out. And I want people to understand that the Travis Mills Foundation does not pay the board members. I do not take a dime for what I do. I go around, I speak on the behalf of the foundation, I run it, my wife and I, and the rest of the board members, but we'll never get paid for it. It's not about that. No, and, I'm really thankful to have the stage I have, because I want people to know I'm not a pity, you know, story. You don't have to sob over me. I'm just Travis Mills. I have fake arms and legs, so I put my pants down and I put my legs on, so it's a little bit more steps. I drive a big, you know, lifted truck. And I take my daughter to school and take my wife on dates and go about life as normal as I can.
Are you still active? Are you still considered active duty?
Oh, no. I retired in November
okay.
2013. I live up in Maine. And I'm fortunate that Garrison East, his foundation, built my wife and I one of those smart homes that he does across the nation. And we're able to live, and I have the means to do a lot of things independently. In my house and around my house because of the help that they gave me. But I just want people to really know that my story is nothing that they need to, it's a great story, but it's not where I want people to be like, oh, you're one of those wounded guys. I'm not a wounded warrior. I'm a recalibrated warrior, if anything. I don't see myself as wounded anymore. I mean, I had wounds. They were pretty bad, but now I got awesome scars. But, and ladies, I'm married. If you're listening, I'm sorry.
He's a Detroit Lions fan anyways. Who wants, no. Now where are you in the prosthetic part? You know, I read part about what you did, and are you not complete as far as the stages of what you go through to have all prosthetic limbs now, or is there more to go?
No, I'm complete. If they had more updated things and technology, I'll go get them or try them out or see if that's something that would benefit my life in a positive way. But my right arm, I'm up so high, I don't wear it unless I snowboard or I go downhill mountain biking or things like that. And I'm not joking. I really do snowboard, downhill, gravity bike, mountain. You know, like my mountain bike, it's called gravity mountain bike riding. You go around like 9,000, 10,000 foot mountains on switchbacks. And I wear my arm for that. But, when I go swimming or tubing and things like that, I don't wear my arms really. So I just hop in I love going tubing with my little girl, to be honest with you. And my wife, and we go on the lake. I live across from the lake and things like that. So it's just kind of hard to imagine if you see me that I live a pretty normal life. I just ran to Staples. I had to fax some stuff. So I just went to Staples and did that. So, I mean, I'm not. I'm just so thankful for modern day technology that I have a hand that opens and closes and rotates and legs to walk around and drive my truck and I'm able to do things.
Well, I met you. I mean, I'm impressed. I know you're not looking for me to be impressed, but I really love your attitude and I love the way you speak about things. So when we come back from the break, Travis, I want you to tell me about your foundation. Because I think it's important, and I want people to be able to donate. I mean, you know, our armed forces, our military, in my opinion, this is my opinion. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but in my opinion, is a lot of times forgotten once they're out. And you guys need to be taken care of because, as I said earlier today, that if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be celebrating New Year's Eve. We wouldn't be having all these parties, and it really needs to be taken care of. So I want you to, when we come back, to tell us about your foundation and we'll go from there and we'll chat a little bit more. But I love having you on and I love your story, so we're going to step out here for a break and we'll be right back with more from Travis. And before we go to break, I just want to remind everybody to check out Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, but also check out the Bubba Show, thebubbashow.org. We've got some great programs for you. We're now going to be offering a how to day trade futures as a part-time trader, something that we've never offered before, but we can teach you the patterns, and we're offering that to you as well as our hedging program. So make sure you go check it out, as well as all of our articles. And of course, the Bubba Report is coming out soon. So that'll be something else for you. Miss a show, go to libertytalk.fm, get it on demand. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back with Travis right after the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I know where I come from.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. bubba@thebubbashow.org. Check it out. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my new friend. I hope we can become friends. Travis Mills, Staff Sergeant Travis Mills, whose famous words are, never give up, never quit. And again, here's a guy that has been through the worst of it. Most of us would have been in self-pity and done for. But here he is, and he's representing a cause. And I believe that we got to help this cause if we can. If you're able, you got to help them out. Tell us about the foundation, Travis, and what you're doing and how we can raise some money for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I definitely appreciate that. We're up in Maine, and what we do is we bring families up. I did a lot of trips with the hospital, and we had a great time. But what was missing was a lot of guys couldn't bring their wives and their children, you know. And what we do is we bring the wives and the children, and we show them a great time. We show them how to adaptive sports with their loved ones, as well as we make sure that they understand that you know, people in my situation don't have to live life on the sidelines. They don't have to watch their family do activities. They need to get out there and try it and do it. And we build a network of people in the same situation, because I'll be honest, I live here in Maine, and there's not a lot of amputees. There's definitely not a quadruple amputee I ran into, but there's definitely a small amount of amputees, you know, throughout the whole nation, which is fine and it's a good thing. But we come in, we build the networks, we have the wives be able to talk to other wives and, you know, talk about their situations and hopefully make lifelong friendships with people in the same situation, and the kids get to play. But what we're trying to do is, you know, give them back their independence, give them a way to do things with their families that are fun, because for me, I can't go out and throw a softball. There's really no possible way that I'm going to throw a softball to my kid and do things like that. But we can go on family kayaking trips, and I can be independent in that. We can go on family outings to do boating or do fishing and be a part of that every day with my family. So we bought a place. It's Elizabeth Arden Estate in Mount Vernon, Rome. She was the cosmetic pioneer and founded the Red Door Spas and things like that. She built this house for herself and a retreat for Mimi Eisenhower, Judy Garland, and some other great names out there, but in 1929. And we had two proof of concepts the last 2 years. We brought five families up and then six families up, and we had such a great turnout. And we saw the need for this that we decided we were going to go full force into it and build a place. Well, we came across the Arden Estate up here in Maine, and it just would be everything we wanted. She ran a retreat in 1929. We want to run a retreat. Now it had to have a full basin put on. But when it's all said and done, 100% ADA compliant. People are going to be able to come in, have a great vacation where they learn how to do things adaptively, and there's going to be counselors on station. They'll be able to ask me questions, and we're going to start a network with them so they know that if they ever need anything, any kind of help, any thing that they could possibly ever want to know about prosthetics or their situation or their family's been in the same shoes that they're in, we're going to help them with that. And, you know, it's a 2017 finish date. We're hoping to have it done earlier. We're raising funds right now. It's a $2.7 million project. We have about $900,000 raised right now. And like I said, I don't take a dime away from this. I just see the need in it. I see the need for the wives to be able to let loose and talk to other wives in the same situation so people can understand what they're going through. Or people they can talk to people that understand what they're going through. And it's just really coming together for us, and we're so thankful, and we're still raising funds. And all the information about me, if anybody is interested in finding out, travismills.org, please email us at the site. We answer all the emails. And, you know, just grateful to be in the situation, because when I was in the hospital and I had all these people coming in trying to help all these different nonprofits, my wife and I thought, you know what, we want to do something to give back. And we were first going to do care packages overseas, and it grew to this somehow. And it's not the road we took at first, not the road we planned on being on, but boy, are we happy we're here, and we're dedicated to it, and we're doing everything in our power to make sure that this is the most successful nonprofit that we can run with people just getting so much out of it.
And make sure you go to travismills.org and go to the donate button. Because, look, you got to remember the people that took care of you and gave you the life that you got. Travis, tell me about the movie coming out.
Oh, well, we have a documentary out right now. It was a GI Film Festival winner in 2014, and that's on iTunes right now. It documents the recovery with my wife and I and the two guys. They got hurt, the two mechs saved my life, my brother-in-law, my parents, and so we got some great stuff. That we actually used a lot of the raw footage from all that with with a lot more stuff that we were putting together for my book that just came out, Tough As They Come, which actually it just made a New York Times bestseller, so we're excited about that. But I lost to Khloe Kardashian. I'm a little bit like, oh no, and a list. But it's really cool what we have going on, and my wife and I are able to, get the story out there and hopefully motivate and inspire people to always know to keep pushing and keep going forward. And I wouldn't be the same person without my wife. So if you enjoy a little bit of Forrest Gump mixed in with The Notebook, mixed in with the action of Lone Survivor, American Sniper style stuff, I think you'll love this book and this documentary.
Well, I think it's great, and I think that, again, you got to check this guy out, because, again, he's really, I mean, this is special. This is, the toughness that a lot of people would have fallen apart from. You've come out of it. You've made a life for yourself. You're now moving on, helping other people get to where they need to get to, because, as you know, very tough mentally as you went through for the couple of weeks or so when it happened to you. And there is no bigger challenges in life when these things happen to people, isn't that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we have, as you look around, Travis, and you go, so if I could grant you one wish from today forward, what would that be?
Well, I wish everybody would just get involved, understand what we're doing, and just check us out. I guess if you grant one wish, I wish everybody just check out travismills.org, spread it out to all your friends, tell everybody about it, and I thank everybody for their support, really. But I guess I should have said, peace on earth and stuff like that, huh?
No, I think you said the right thing. I mean, I think the message is we all want peace on earth, but this is a special message that you're trying to get out. Now, before I let you go, how'd you end up in Maine?
What was that?
How'd you end up in Maine?
Well, it's really, my wife is from Maine, and she moved to Texas when she was 11. And then I'm from Michigan. I met my wife, and when it came down, we could build a house anywhere in the States we wanted to. Texas is too hot, and my body overheats, and you're amputee, your heart beats faster. Pushes your blood to your fingers and toes, but mine returns my heart quicker, so I'm always hot, so Texas was out. Michigan and Maine were up in the, 1 and 2, and then I wanted her to be happy, and she has 140 family members up here, and I'm fortunate to still have the ability to have kids. If we have kids, we're only around family, and you know what? She stayed with me. Why not build a house in Maine?
You're the man. Travis Mills, I really appreciate you coming on today. TravisMills.org. Check it out. Hit that donate button for Bubba, because I believe in this guy. And him and I talked a little bit a couple of months ago face to face, and I got a lot of respect for you. And certainly I stand up and salute you and appreciate the things that you've gone through. But more importantly, you took care of this country based on what you had to do. So Travis Mills, I appreciate you, and have a great holiday season, man.
You too, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
That was great. And I mean, wasn't he something special? I mean, you know, you got to think about it, and we'll talk more about it later. But I mean, there's a guy that took it, and he took it for us. Okay. And this is one of the problems that I see, you know, with our military, is they're not well taken care of when they come back home. And I think that is a bigger problem. I think that any of you veterans out there, okay, anybody who's active in the military out there, we got to take better care of you guys, because if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be celebrating New Year's Eve tomorrow night. Okay, we wouldn't have the luxury of being in this country. And you can say what you want, but at the end of the day, it's our soldiers, it's our fighters, men and women alike, who give up their lives to take care of your freedom. And you gotta take care of them. You gotta make sure you look after them, because really, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. And I'm hoping that you'll step up and maybe check out TravisMills.org and you know, maybe make a contribution. I'm not asking. I'm just saying. Okay, I did. And I hope that you can see the value of a quadruple amputee coming back and trying to make things better for others around him. Sounds like a pretty good guy, you know, from what he's been through. And, you know, we'll talk more about it. But this is the Bubba Show. Just want to remind you that during this holiday season, to thank a veteran, shake their hand. You know, give a smile, because again, they're the ones that brought you the freedom that allows you to celebrate this time. And, you know, we just have to be more cognizant of taking care of these guys, because they take care of you. Now, you may not always agree with what they do, but at the end of the day, they are there for you. And that is something you have to remember. And remember Travis's words: never give up, never quit, because you can never do that, especially in the field in which we are in, that is in trading. But I want you to just take a moment and think about that as we get ready to step out here for a break. Remember, if you've missed any of the shows, you can go to libertytalk.fm and get any of the shows back and listen anytime you want. They're on demand, available there. And of course, with New Year's Day coming and the New Year's Six, we will come up with some picks tomorrow. But for now, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba.
A man walks down the street. He says, "Why am I soft as a little..."
Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And that was a great conversation with Travis, and we'll have him back again. And you know, it's nice to see that, you know, most of us might be hiding in a corner, but there's a man that's stepping up and trying to do his best. And that's what makes this country the greatest. Okay, we can bitch and moan about, you know, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, or whoever you want to bitch and moan about, Barack Obama, any of them. But these are the guys that make it great. And that is where I see some of the problems that we don't take care of. And to me, that's a tragedy, and that's a problem. And so, you know, check out Travis's website anyways, and take a look and see what this man has done for you. Because again, it's just the way it should be. You know, it's hard to really talk real business. You know, when I just talked to a man who, you know, gave up, you know, basically everything. I mean, he had to learn how to rewalk. You know, had a quadruple amputee, one of five who survived Iran, Iraq, three tours of duty, okay, and wanted to give up his life to save his own men, and was able to be saved himself. So, again, remember that with all of our bitching and moaning about what goes on in this country, as we approach the new year, remember the guys that took care of you. Because, you know, again, I always brings a tear to my eye to think about it. But he seems to be well-adjusted, happy, family. And that's in life, that's what it really comes back down to, is family, friends, and being able to do something useful. Okay, so again, although we spend a lot of time here, you know, bemoaning the fact of who's in charge and the idiots who are running the asylum, we have to look back and say, but we got guys like this that take care of us. So, you know, as we look around and as we get ready for the new year, we see, you know, very, very quiet markets. Not a lot going on, not a lot to do. I think it's time that everybody, you know, you just give a lot of thought to, you know, what your game plan should be, where you're going to be investing next year, how you're going to take care of yourself and, you know, things like that. I think that's right now the mode you should be in, not looking to be actively involved in the market, but looking for a plan to move into the year 2016. We figure to see some, you know, potential volatility. We figure to see some, maybe that long-awaited correction, and I don't know if that'll be the case or not. But these are things that you always have to think about and focus on as you move on. And that kind of, I brought those up because that kind of reminds me of the focus that a guy like Travis has in this world, is he's looking ahead and on how is he going to make things better. And that's kind of the mojo that I want you to get for yourselves, whether you're an investor, a farmer, a producer, whatever you're doing, why ever you're here, you know, it's get yourself ready. Okay. You'll use that never give up, never quit attitude, because, you know, one thing in this country, it is too easy to give up. We do have, you know, way too many entitlement programs that unfortunately many people take advantage of. And I think that's part of the problem. But, you know, again, you have to now look inside yourself and look inside who you are and see where you would like to be going into the new year, and how you're going to plan out your future, okay? And how you're going to make yourself the best you can be. You know, it's easy to make excuses. It's easy to quit, okay? But if you quit, you've got no chance. You know, one of the greatest things of life is having hope. And if you give up hope, then there's nothing to live for. So remember that if you put yourself in a position to be successful, you will not always have that success. But you know that if you continue to try and you can keep alive the dream and the hope of being successful, that it always lives within you. Because like markets, success doesn't announce itself. You find yourself preparing to be successful. Because people aren't just lucky, okay? It's preparation that makes you lucky, okay? Now, again, that doesn't always apply. There are some lucky circumstances. But overall, if you're prepared to be successful, then you may just get lucky enough to be successful. So as you start to embark upon the new year, what you want to do is you want to start to plan ahead and think about the strategies that you want to employ into your new year and how you're going to either protect the money that you've made or start to make that, build that new nest egg that you didn't make. And these are just little tricks and tools, because as Yogi Berra used to say, is life is 90% mental and 50% talent. Okay, so you know, if we continue to strive on and do the right thing by putting ourselves in a position to create that successful opportunity, and that may be the hedging program for you, it may not be. That may be the, you know, investing program, you know, putting a little bit away. You know, it just depends on where you are in your life. But one of the things you want to do is you want to recognize where you are within your life and not put yourself in jeopardy of not putting yourself in an opportunity to achieve the success that you deserve. Okay? And that is always something that we look at, and I take great inspiration from a guy like Travis and his wife and his child. I mean, can you imagine? But he does everything just like you and me. Okay, as he said, is the hardest thing for him is putting his legs on. Okay? And you know, think about that. You know, think about what we take for granted in this country. Think about what we take for granted in our own lives. And maybe we need to be more of not taking so many things for granted, because it is your life. It is our life. But it starts out with you and what you can do. And if you can do it better, then doesn't it make sense? You're here. You might as well do it better. That's always my coaching philosophy. When I was coaching young kids, was you're going to be with me for an hour and a half. Now, you can be miserable for the hour and a half, or you can do your best and get better, which makes more sense. You're going to be here anyways. So, you know, you're going to do your things. You're going to do things in life. You're going to invest, maybe. You're going to trade, maybe. Okay. But shouldn't you do them to the best of your ability? Shouldn't it be time that you took the bull by the horns, so to speak, and said, you know what? I may have an investment counselor that's helping me, but I want to know what he or she is doing so that I can be better informed. And that's what I want for you. I want for you to be successful and happy and enjoy life, because anybody can be miserable. It's easy to be miserable, but it takes a little work to be happy, and I want everybody to be happy. And I want you to stay with me. I'm looking forward to a great new year, although we've got one more show this year, but I'm looking to a great new year. And any of the shows you've missed, you can check them out at libertytalk.fm. And for today, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a good day, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.